Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 22, 2022. This weekend we pray for God's protection for his people throughout our world and for a good growing season leading to a good harvest. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it, if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Our next reading is from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also buried with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you, who has a friend, will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. and he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And the lesson for our discussion is from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Do you know someone who is extremely judgmental? Do you know someone who is used to an older way of life that is frustrated with more current ways of doing things? It is probably true of every day and age. For those who like the organ in a church, there was a time long ago when there were no organs available in churches. At some point, it was new. It was an innovation. And think of people trying to get used to that new way of experiencing music. In our day and age, I've seen a clash in Lutheran churches, and I'm sure it goes on in other church bodies. It's probably been going on for at least 30 years now. There are those who like a more contemporary style of music, and then there are those who like a much more traditional style of music. I've always liked the traditional music and even have appreciated chanting in the church. I like instruments, horns, and pipes, and stringed instruments. I speak as someone who has liked music from youth, both in the church and outside the church setting, including pop and rock music I heard on the radio or out in public years ago. I never minded those types of music. Yet, there are some who say those styles, when using Christian lyrics and contemporary music, have no place in the church. I've seen others who are so tuned into a contemporary style that can't stand traditional hymns and organ music. So there's a real conflict there, isn't there? Both sides of the struggle are in conflict with one another, so much so that they're congregations of one style or another, and when they call a pastor, their goal is to call one that matches with one of these particular worship styles. Here's another interesting thought on the music debate. As someone who is very in tune with music, pardon the pun, who has seen many types of music being used in congregations in different places, I know that there are some folks who don't like music at all, who don't get music at all. A good friend of mine didn't really listen to music and didn't get music. I know that he could appreciate some kinds of music, but it really wasn't that big a part of his life. It wasn't that important to him. Some folks really aren't interested in music and would tell you that they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. For these folks, the contemporary versus traditional debate regarding music is moot. They may not find music in the service to be useful at all. Folks can have extreme differences in the music that they prefer, and it seems like probably everyone has a difference of opinion about it. If you're in a place where there is one service and the style of music is not your style, or the use of music is not your thing at all, what do you do? Being in a worship community is about life together. Churches can be a lot like families, and sometimes families can have very different people living under one roof. How do you live and operate together? You have to have patience sometimes for what is not your thing. You may have to find some tolerance. Yet there are some who have little or no tolerance for a different way of doing things from their usual way at all. But what is the most important thing in worship? It's the content, isn't it? It's hearing God's word, even if that may be in song, and receiving God's gifts. Holy Communion and baptism, it is growing in faith together and sometimes being stretched in ways to serve God's kingdom and care for his people, being equipped by God and disciplined by those he has sent to serve. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. It's meant to be in song, isn't it? Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. That is the music of the traditional matins liturgy. Speaking as someone who likes music, and despite the idea of making a joyful noise to God, it is possible to connect with God, to pray to, praise, and give Him thanks without using music. Matthew chapter 7 continues the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Sometimes it seems to me like traditional and contemporary proponents may get on each other's cases for various reasons. Yet there has to be some patience, understanding, and listening with one another, allowing people to be heard, but understanding that it is really the content and the connection with God that is most important of all. It's above the music. We must have care for one another and not get lost in the argument. Jesus says, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This idea sticks with me. Have you ever been tempted to be harsh with someone when perhaps the situation didn't call for that kind of harshness? Did you deal with the situation harshly because of the way you felt? Because your emotions took over? Jesus encourages us to take the large piece, the log, out of our own eye rather than the speck out of our neighbor's eye. This calls for self-reflection, for looking at our own responsibility in our own situations. Have you ever gotten into a useless argument with someone, especially someone on Facebook or some other network, in an argument that you couldn't possibly hope to win because you would never win over the other person? Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs." This is not to call our neighbor a pig, but sometimes we have to understand that there are some arguments not worth having with people. It's not going to change anything or help our lives or theirs. When Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." It is interesting that this lines up with the lesson for this week from Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus points out that even sinful, evil people know how to give good gifts to their children. Even more so, God, who is good, will give good gifts to those who belong to Him. And Jesus further clarifies in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Are you struggling with a particular sin, a troubling situation, a difficult decision? Ask God to help you with it. He does hear your prayers. In verse 12, Jesus speaks the golden rule. The golden rule is wisdom for all humanity and was stated in various times and places in history, but the way that Jesus states it is different than any other. Other renditions have been, "Do not do to others what you do not want to be done to you." Frankly, in the world today, it would be a great saying for all of the world's leaders, including our own, to live by. But Jesus says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This sums up how God wants us to treat our neighbor. It is expounded upon in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is not just, if you don't want someone to kick you in the shin, don't kick them. It carries with it a greater responsibility. You should do things for others that you would want done for you. Do you see someone struggling to open the door? Open the door for them. Does someone in your presence look like they could use a drink of water on a hot, sunny day? Hand them a water. The sky's the limit here. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." Think of the things you commonly see people doing in life. You're going to encounter people doing immoral and destructive things in their lives. These things will tear apart families. You will see this even with friends. Don't follow in those footsteps that lead to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And we know that it is following Jesus that leads to life. He is the source of life and salvation. Many will be busy with life, working, playing, not joining in regular worship. people's lives will be like the days of the flood, when people were busy marrying and giving in marriage, living their lives without keeping their eyes on God. The narrow way is following Jesus. He then tells his hearers to be aware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We must be cognizant of the people who are leading us, or the people that we decide to follow. There are leaders that say they are Christian, but are they teaching the faith? Are they teaching us to follow Christ? Are they teaching us the narrow way of Christ? Or do they commend us to something else? A person can always be lured with a bait and switch. We use the example of television preachers. Are they commending us to follow the Christ that comes to us from Scripture? Or are they commending us to a false gospel, a prosperity gospel? What about our local churches? Jesus says you will know a tree by its fruit. Those that are diseased cannot bear good fruit. For Lutherans, we have a roadmap of the basic teachings of Scripture. It is called the Small Catechism, but these basic teachings are for all Christians. They come right out of Scripture. To Martin Luther, this was how one should follow the narrow way, by heeding Scripture alone. The Catechism seeks to do that, and I believe it succeeds. Some will claim to know Jesus, but they were not doing his work. They did not have their minds and ways set on Christ. It is a warning to all who seek to preach and teach. We must be faithful to Christ. Then Jesus tells a parable of building his house on a rock. The floods came, but it did not fall. Jesus' wise words are a solid foundation for our lives. Those who follow them are building on a rock. Those who do not heed Jesus' words are building their houses on sands. Sometimes we can see people flailing in life, and that is because they have no foundation. They are not rooted in Christ. We will have good lives. We will have peaceful and ordered lives when our words and deeds are rooted in Christ. The chapter ends by telling us that when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were surprised at his teaching. He taught with authority, not like their scribes. And where did Jesus' authority come from? It came from the Heavenly Father. He could speak with surety because he was lined up with the Father's will. There are times in our lives where we may be unsure, where we may get off track and onto our own ways of doing things, lulled by the siren call of the wide way in life. These are the fun things, the easy things, the distracting things. And our culture is filled with distractions. But wolves attack when the flock is distracted. Be ever alert. Rest your life and your faith on Christ. Jesus saves us from sin and death, and he also saves us from ourselves. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for teaching me how to live. Your sayings are blessings in my life. When I follow my own ways and whims, I languish. When I follow your ways, I have peace, and you guide my steps. Help me to rest my feet on the solid rock of your word and your ways. I pray it in your name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you would guard our lives as your people. Help us to follow the narrow way, to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would watch over and protect your people, your pastors and your missionaries, as they go far and wide, carrying the word of your gospel. Lord, we pray that you would be with our fields, that you would give us a good growing season, and that you would bring about a good harvest. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our special verse for this day comes from Matthew 7, verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I think of this verse often. It can carry both law and gospel in it when you think about it. All of our scriptures, all of our verses, come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace will lead me home. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, shall then prevail in heaven's joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when